Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The empty tomb is initially a cause of confusion. The report of Mary of Magdala led Peter and the beloved disciple to race to the tomb. But they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. Think about that for just a second. Jesus had spoken about his coming death and his resurrection openly with his disciples. St. Matthew records, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 17:9. "Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." Matthew 17:22 and 23. "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And in Matthew 20, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again." Yet, it is not until Mary hears Jesus call her by name that she then recognizes him and realizes what has happened. The scene with Mary is quite personal, suggesting that they had a close relationship, Jesus and Mary of Magdala. As we hear Jesus say to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." The Greek here could be a little better translated, "Stop holding on to me." As if Jesus is pushing her off. You know, when you see your children or your grandchildren when they're small and you walk in the door and they're clinging to your leg all of a sudden and you're trying to walk. I kind of get that kind of picture in my head when I see this text. She clung to him with joy and belief. As Jesus attempts to disentangle himself from her, he gave to Mary a particular commission. "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary is the first eyewitness of the resurrected Lord and Savior. "I have seen the Lord," she declares. Today, for many, even some who claim to be Christians, this has become a meaningless account, a superstition, if you will. But we know better. For if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are pitied above all, and our faith is completely in vain. For without the resurrection, we have no Christ, no Redeemer, no Savior, and no Lord. But surely you've heard the good news this morning. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You want proof? Then close your eyes and open your ears, the organ of your faith, if you will, and listen to the faith and join with Mary and confess, "I have seen the Lord." For our text offers us eyewitness proof that we can stake our life now and for all eternity on. Well, our text might cause us to think that Mary Magdala was the only woman at the tomb early that morning dawn. She's not. Matthew, Mark, and Luke fill in some more details for us. They give us more information. Mary was accompanied by Mary, the mother of James and Salome, the once ambitious mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. You remember, she went and asked, "Put my son at the right and the other on the left when you come into your kingdom." According to tradition, she is the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke also places Joanna with them. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. She was one of the women who Jesus had healed of evil spirits and infirmities. So this first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and the other women set out to anoint their three dead corpse in an attempt to finish giving Jesus, after all, a proper burial that he deserved. The women hadn't thought their plan through completely. as they started to wonder who might roll the stone away. What a complete shock it must have been when they got there and the stone had not just rolled away, but had been taken away. Yet the women don't start jumping up and down at that moment going, "Christ is risen! Christ is risen!" No, they assume the worst. We do that all the time with the Eighth Commandment, putting the worst construction on every possible scenario. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Our testimony is often like that of Mary. We let many earthly things cloud the importance of heavenly things. Be it grief, leisure activities, or work, our focus on Jesus and his word isn't always the clearest. We forget, or we hide our faith from family and family functions and in public or with old friends and new acquaintances, as we let our feelings and our fears run our life. Of these and many more sins, we plead guilty, and our sins are forgiven because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now it is John who is the faster of the disciples. He was younger after all. He saw the linen cloths lying there. And while John is faster, Peter is a little more headstrong. Following him, he went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. What nice, neat grave robbers we have. They too began to wonder what had happened to Jesus' body. From our vantage point, it's easy. It's easy to ask, why didn't they just stop and think about what Jesus had told them? Or what had been prophesied in the scriptures? But let us not smugly judge these followers, my sleepy-eyed saints. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must be raised from the dead. They had not yet connected the Old Testament dots and promises. The psalmist had declared, "For you will not leave my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Isaiah had prophesied, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put on him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." And Hosea had prophesied, "After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight." Just to mention a few. It is clear to us today that Jesus' body had not been stolen. What kind of grave robber leaves the linen the wrappings nicely laid out, and a headcloth folded up in its own spot? Eyes of faith can see clearly. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you don't trust your often lying eyes, again, use your ears and listen to the witnesses who have seen the resurrection of our Lord. Mary Magdalene and the other women, to Peter, to the two Emmaus disciples, to the disciples minus Thomas, to the disciples plus Thomas, to seven unnamed disciples by the lake at Gennesaret, to the multitude of disciples, perhaps 500 at one time, to James, to the apostles again, and finally to St. Paul. And now through the word of God to you and me. So let us stop standing around as if we're in shock. Stop living as if we are chained to our sins. Hear the words of Jesus. "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." We are now, through Jesus, declared children of the Heavenly Father, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Our Lenten prayers have been answered. He who overcame by the tree has now overcome by the tree of the cross. Today we break our Lenten fast and rejoice. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God has taken away our sins. Death no longer has dominion on any of us. Christ the Lord is risen today. Let our confession be joined with Mary Magdalene and go out to all our brothers and sisters. I have seen the Lord, or have you not heard? Death has been swallowed up in Christ's victory. Live and live in it. This eternal life is ours now and forever. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.